brother.
You're my friend.
Yeah, I appreciate it. Thank you so much. Well, it's a blessing to be here for sure, and thankful for the invite. And like Pastor Foster said, you know, it's kind of nerve-wracking after, you know, a young church starting off. You're the pastor there. Everybody kind of looks for you at the service there, and you're going. And so I made a video and for announcements, actually, this morning. I'm like, surprise, I'm not here, and went on with announcements there. But really what I've seen the time, and actually they're getting started right now. And what I was thinking in my head, and I hope this is not true, but you know how you leave a class of kindergartners, you know, by themselves for like 30 minutes, the teacher's like, all right, I'll be right back, and leave for about 30 minutes, and when they come back, no telling what's taking place in that classroom after 30 minutes, and it's kind of what I was imagining in our church right now. But I sure hope that's not the case there. I sure hope not. But as Pastor said, my name is Roland Bork. I'm the pastor of Foundation Baptist Church in Bixby, Oklahoma. We started in 2020. Great year to start a church, and we did, and it was a very slow process, but the Lord has blessed, and I'm very, very thankful for what the Lord is doing in Tulsa and Bixby, Oklahoma. We just have a burden to reach people, and so I'm very thankful that the Lord allowed me to be used by Him and my wife as well, and then we have Daniela with us here in the service, and our other children are in children's church. And so thank you so much just for everything that you have done and just support. And man, it's been a blessing for sure just to be here. And it's a great, great opportunity. So thank you so much. Okay, let's take our Bibles and turn to Matthew chapter number three. You have to excuse me this morning. I'm still, y'all get started a little bit earlier than us. I'm still trying to wake up, and we'll start off slow, and we'll pick up here probably in the middle of the sermon somewhere, okay? So just stay with me this morning. Thank you so much for that. I want to thank the Morrison family as well, just for the great gift that you have given us and our family and our church, and it's definitely a blessing. We're trying to convert. We are converting a classroom. Our children are homeschooled, and so we have a walk-in attic in our home that we just bought a year ago, and it's all bare bones. And so we're taking some of that money there and framing and doing some remodeling for that walk-in attic in regards to that. So again, thank you so much for that. What a testimony from Brother Dale Morrison. I think I'm getting that right, hopefully. And man, that's really, really a blessing just to leave those finances to missionaries that maybe he doesn't really know too well. You might have not met all of them. I'm not sure. I'm just kind of assuming. But man, what a great testimony. That's really a blessing. And I've been sharing that throughout the city of Tulsa and with people. Man, that is just awesome and humbling when I got that email. So praise the Lord for that. It's a blessing. Okay. All right. Matthew chapter number 3, verse number 1. I'm not sure if you stand, y'all stand for the reading of God's word, but if y'all do, I'd invite you to stand for the reverence of God's word here this morning. We're going to start in verse number 1. Verse number 1 of Matthew chapter number 3 says, "In those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, 'Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he that was spoken by the prophet Isaiah, saying, The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. And the same John had his raiment of camel hair and a leathern girdle about his loins, and his meat was locusts and wild honey. Then went out of him Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region round about Jordan, and were baptized of him in Jordan, confessing their sins. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and the Sadducees come to his baptism, he said unto them, O generation of vipers, who had warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth therefore fruits meet for repentance, and think not to say within yourselves, We have Abraham to our father. For I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. And now also the axe is laid unto the root of the trees. Therefore every tree which bringeth not good, not bringeth forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire, whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor and gather his wheat unto the garner, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. But John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me? And Jesus answering said unto him, Suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffered him. And so really the Lord placed upon my heart to preach a message in regards to being vocal for the Lord, being vocal for the Lord, and also visual for the Lord as well. And so I do believe John the Baptist is one of those characters in the scripture that was very vocal, as we see, but also visual for the Lord as well. So we'll pray here one more time and see what the Lord has in store for us here this morning. Lord, we love you and I do thank you for this wonderful church here. I do agree with Brother John in Sunday school that it's a top of the line. And so we're thankful for the leadership of this pastor here and just the opportunity to come and preach your word. I do pray that you would help us to pay attention today, and that you would just give me the clarity of thought, and that you would use me as a vessel, Lord, that we would see this great character in the scripture, greatest man born of woman, John the Baptist, as you said. I do pray that you would just bless the time we have together here this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you so much. You may be seated. As we see John the Baptist, great role model for us here as Christians here, where see a transition here in the going from the Old Testament to the New Testament here. From the Old Testament to the New Testament, we have about, they say, a 400 silent years there. And it wasn't like God was sleeping or just forgot about people, right? I know that in Louisiana, when someone does someone wrong, at least according to my family there, when someone does someone wrong, a common phrase is, well, God don't sleep. And he doesn't sleep as we know throughout the scripture here. But we get to a place where God breaks silence, and we see him speaking with John the Baptist's dad and promising him that, hey, you're going to have a son. And we can go through all that in Luke chapter number 1, but we can kind of fast forward a little bit here. And he raises up a man by the name of John the Baptist there. And I want to give a description here about John the Baptist and how he was vocal for the Lord. Man, he was vocal for the Lord, and then also he had a good testimony. His life was honoring and glorifying to our Savior Jesus Christ. But we see in verses number 1 that a good description of John the Baptist is that he was preaching in the wilderness. He was preaching. He didn't entertain at all. There wasn't really anything cool about him as his, you know, his dress and his diet there. That, man, all he did was he preached God's word there effectively there. And so, we have to come to the understanding that the gospel or the word of God is not open for discussion or debate. It's not just one of many possibilities. It's the truth of God. It's the word of God there. It's the foundation of our faith. And that's why it's so important that we come together and we hear God's word preached, right? Man, that's important. This morning, it's important. Tonight, that's important to come together and hear the word of God preached. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And God uses the foolishness of preaching. We got to keep preaching the word. And I'm going to be honest, churches are getting away from that there. They're getting away from the preaching of God's word. Let's not underestimate. Let's not undermine. Let's not minimize the preaching of God's word. We don't come to church to, you know, oftentimes churches are starting to look like game shows and circuses and those kind of things. No, we got to continue to preach the word. And John the Baptist preached God's word. He preached it, and he also proclaimed God's word as well. Look at what he declared in verse number 2, what he published. What was his message? What was John the Baptist's message? It wasn't a feel-good message. It wasn't, look at what it says in verse number 2, and he says, repent. Repent ye. Okay, means to turn away from. I think we all understand what repentance means. It means to turn away from sin. And as a Christian, we should be constantly striving to change. We should be constantly striving to get better. We'll never be maxed out where it's like, look, hey, I've reached a part of my Christianity, a part of my Christian life where, look, I'm good, I'm perfect there, that I've dealt with some stuff in the past. No, we should be constantly trying to get better, doing more, glorifying our Savior Jesus Christ, to turn away from sin. So oftentimes we can get bogged down in it and pick up habits that don't honor our Savior. Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. And you know, we so often say, man, what's wrong with our country? And man, look at the direction our country is going in. And man, it's so ungodly. You can't go to the library anymore and pick up books or watch television. And man, it's just so wicked. So everywhere you turn, everywhere you turn, even not here, but even in some churches, it's just a wicked, demonic place everywhere. And the Word of God gives us the solution here in 2 Chronicles chapter number 7. We all probably can quote this verse, but if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face, and listen to this, and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. See it through the book of Judges, as you know, God's people cried out to God, and God sent a deliverer to them to help them to get out. And man, God has sent us the ultimate deliverer this morning. Jesus Christ came, and man, if we just turn to Him, turn to God there, turn away from our sin, turn away from our selfish desires, and turn to Him. And He'll give us the victory. He's given me victory in my life over and over again. As Pastor was kind of sharing my testimony a little bit, I came from a pretty rough background there. I didn't come from a Christian home. And, you know, my parents confess that they are saved, and I truly do believe that. And I love my parents to death. But I didn't come from a Christian background. And a lot of that is because of my doings, because of my decision. But whenever I finally made the decision, hey, I need to live for God. I was saved, and I was living a very carnal, hypocritical, whatever you want to call it, lifestyle. When I repented of my sins, I turned away from my sin and I rededicated my life to Christ. Man, that was one of the best decisions that I've ever made, besides my salvation. We moved to Florida and started learning about the ministry, started learning about the Bible, and just trying to reach people and having a burden for people, and just really just living for God, living a holy life, not what the world has to offer, not what the world teaches, but just living a holy, set apart, not fake, a genuine life for God. Man, that is a great life to live. I am so thankful that I was able to do that, and God was able to use me for His honor and glory. Because if He can, I think I said this when last time I came, if He can use me, He can use anybody. I was the lowest of the lowest, and God was able to use me, and I'm thankful for a wife as well that was able to just kind of stick with me and stand by my side there and be submissive. And man, it's a blessing in my family, and it's great. It's a great life to live, to serve God. And no, it's not perfect. And yes, there's some difficult and some challenges that come as well. But man, this life, living for Jesus Christ and just having a good testimony throughout your workplace and being faithful in the Word of God and proclaiming the truth, right? Yeah, we're supposed to do it in love, and understand 1 Corinthians 13 says to do all things in love. And yeah, we understand that. But man, there's a lot of false stuff, that ungodly stuff that's being taught throughout. We have to proclaim the truth. We have to stand for the truth. Even when it feels like it's awkward, maybe it might feel like you're the only one that's capable of doing it. You're the only one that you feel like you're by yourself through the workplace or your family or your friends. It must be done. It must be done to proclaim God's word, to proclaim the truth there. The Bible says, John says, to repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. It's close by. This microphone is at hand. My Bible, all this stuff is close by. That's what it means. And we have to prepare for it there. Again, I was talking about Brother Dale, and man, he prepared for it, right? He's great testimony. Really, it blew my mind. Just an amazing testimony, and the testimony of this church, and just the mindset this church has for missions and the pastor. That's a blessing. That's a blessing. And John is saying, hey, look, the kingdom of heaven is close by. It's closer than it's ever been. Nothing is stopping Jesus from coming now, all right, to rapture us up, and we're with him there, all right? Nothing is stopping. We're not looking for all these different signs and, the stuff that they show on YouTube and all this other stuff. No, it's close by. We have to be ready for it. Are we ready to meet our Savior if he calls us up today, right now? It's a blessing. It's amazing. It really is. And so he's proclaiming this truth. And he's not backing down, right? He's not backing down, and he's proclaiming it unapologetically. So he's preparing the way for the Lord. That's what John the Baptist is. He's the forerunner. We understand that. He's the preparation here, verses number 3. For this is he that was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his paths straight. The preparation. He was talked about in all throughout the Old Testament, in Isaiah and in Malachi. The prophets proclaim there's going to be a forerunner to come. He's going to come and prepare the way of the Lord to keep his path straight. And so he started to point people to Christ. He's coming. He's coming. Okay, he's coming. And that's the same thing with us. Now, don't misunderstand me. We're not John the Baptist, right? But we are to point people to Christ. We are to say, hey, just like he came the first time, he's coming back. Amen. And he came back. He came first as a lamb. He's coming back as a lion there. And so we have to tell these people. We have to proclaim the truth to people. If the church is not going to do it, if the Christians are not going to do it, you think lost people are going to tell other lost people about it? No, they're not. Most likely they're not, okay? The Christians, the church is supposed to proclaim the truth. We are supposed to go on before and make the announcement. Jesus Christ is Lord. He is the way, the truth, and the life. He will give you victory. He has the keys of death, hell, and the grave. He is our Savior. Amen. And if you trust in him, he could be your Savior today. Amen. He could be your Savior. He's my Savior. He's the Lord of my life. Amen. He's the one I serve. And to be honest, every now and then, we get off track, right? We kind of get off track, and man, we got our own thing going, and he's got to get us back on track. And that's where preaching the Word of God and reading the Word of God and being around this kind of group of people and fellowshipping and reflection of Jesus Christ, man, that's encouraging. That's encouraging. The preparation. And then also his perspective, or really his appearance here this morning here, that John didn't live a lavish lifestyle. Let's read it, verse number 4. And the same John had his raiment of camel's hair and a leathern girdle about his loins, and his meat was locusts and wild honey. Now, I don't know about you, but that's not appetizing to me, okay? I like hamburgers and steaks and, that kind of stuff there. We had Chick-fil-A last night. I like that stuff there. I don't like locusts, and I'll take a little bit of honey there, but a little bit. But I'm not taking a locust and dipping it in honey. That's not appetizing to me. Now that is a common thing there in some parts of the world, locusts and all that. I was kind of reading about that, but hey, that's not appetizing to me. And this was a decision that John made. Okay, his father was a priest and a Levitical priest, and so they were in a high ranking area there in life at that time there. And so This was something that he said, okay, I can have this kind of lavish lifestyle, or I can go in the wilderness and I can serve God, what he's called me to do. This is what God has called John to do. And God is calling people to do some great things here in Wiley, Texas, here this morning. And we just have to make a decision here that, hey, I am going to serve God, even when if it's going to take sacrifices. Are you willing to take maybe a pay cut at your job to serve God? You know, when God called us to the great state of Oklahoma, not knowing anybody, I didn't really want to go, right? I was pretty content. I was serving God, and I was in Florida serving God. I mean, who wants to leave Florida? You know what I mean? That's not common. That's not right. It's not right. And so I'm like, is God judging me here? Am I, like, what is going on? But anyway, God called us to Oklahoma. And I had a fencing business, you know, picking up pretty good. It was, you know, it was an existent for a couple years. And so I was picking up, getting customers, and just growing. And I was serving God. I was being faithful to God. I was there on every service, teaching a Sunday school class, all that. And he called us to Oklahoma. Well, that's going to take sacrifice. That's going to take some stuff leaving behind and saying, look, hey, I'm willing to sacrifice this so I can serve you. I know now, I know that this is where you want me, God, in Oklahoma. This is the will of God for my life there. And so there's some sacrifices I have to take. John took some sacrifices, okay? All right? He took, if you go to study, he took sacrifices for God. Are we willing as a church to take some sacrifices to carve out our time, carve out our Saturday, maybe leave work a little early, maybe have that discussion with your boss and say, hey, look, there's some things I need to get right in my life here, and just take it to the bank that they probably won't even understand that about serving God. But hey, it must be done. It must be done. Okay, we live in a wicked world. We need to reach people, and I have a burden here, and I'm not perfect at it, and I fall short probably every day of reaching people. But we have a burden to reach people for the gospel's sake there. We just want to reach people. We just want to reach people for Jesus Christ and see people saved. And man, you know, it was a slow process with our church, and it's just a slow kind of moving process there. Me and Pastor were talking about how it's a marathon, not a sprint there. And I'm often, hey, let's get it done. Whatever we need to do, let's do it, and have that kind of that sprint mentality. But God has to actually really remind me, hey, you're in it for the long haul, 20, 30, 40 years possibly there. And so we have to have that steady pace there. And so the appearance, John made some sacrifices. And again, this was a decision that he chose to do. And really, the believers is to be disciplined and to live moderately there to bring honor and glory to Jesus Christ. And then also, look at his position in verses number 5. Then went out to him Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region round about, and were baptized of him in Jordan, confessing their sins. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and the Sadducees came to his baptism, he said unto them, O generation of vipers, who had warned you to flee from the wrath to come here? And so these crowds gathered together and listened to the preaching, and they confessed their sins and they were baptized. Now, confession, it's important. Confessing our sins, you know, 1 John, and man, confess the Lord Jesus Christ, Romans 10. Confession is important, right? For faith and asking God to forgive our sins. And baptism, now I want to just kind of clarify, which I think we're on the same page here, but I just want to really clarify, baptism is not necessary for salvation, okay? I just want to make sure we understand that there. But what baptism is, and what it always have been, is a public profession of our faith in Christ, and it tells the people and God that, hey, I'm a true believer of Jesus Christ and his death and resurrection for my salvation. We had the great opportunity of baptizing 7 people last week, and man, that was awesome. That was just a joy to my soul there to see people take that step of obedience, say, hey, I want to follow Jesus Christ, and man, I want to be a part of this church. God's doing something in at Foundation Baptist Church, and I want to be part of it. there. Young and old as well. And so, man, it's a blessing. Again, it tells the church, hey, I want to be part of this there. And baptism doesn't save you. It's a picture. It's a like figure of your salvation there. It symbolizes the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Therefore, we are in Romans 6, therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in the newness of life. Walk in the newness of life there. And man, I encourage you, if you haven't been saved this morning, that you get saved, you trust Christ as your Savior. If you haven't been scripturally baptized, maybe you're on the fence about joining this church, I encourage you. I encourage you to take that next step, or whatever step God is calling you to do. Okay, you say, I've been saved for 20 years. I was baptized 20 years ago. What is the next step that God is calling you to do? There's always a next step, another step of faith. God is calling you to do something there. Maybe it's read your Bible more. Maybe it's getting involved at this local church. Maybe it's getting away from some kind of habit or some kind of sinful thing that's in your life. What is God calling you to do? That's the challenge this morning, and to be vocal and to be visual. That might be it there. That, hey, I need to be more vocal for Jesus Christ. I need to have a good testimony. My life has to reflect Jesus Christ more. You know, summertime's coming, and when summertime comes, people don't know how to dress. Amen. It's like they throw all their clothes away, you know. And that's a problem, right? And I'm not saying that's a problem here, but I'm just saying in general, there, modesty's gone out the window, okay? And so that's being visual for the Lord Jesus Christ, having a good testimony there. Have your life is a reflection of Jesus Christ. What we eat and, you know, all that stuff there, you know, gluttony is a big deal as well. And so we have to have a good testimony. We have to have the right motive and being vocal. I can't express that enough. I feel like sometimes Christians don't want to offend anybody. That's not scripture. That's not scripture. And again, you know, balance and loving and all that stuff. I understand, hey, we got to be patient with people. And we don't want to bully anybody. That's not what I'm talking about. The truth has to be proclaimed, just as John the Baptist and Jesus had the same message. Jesus had the same message, okay? It must be proclaimed, his position, okay? And then also, again, his proclamation, again, his second proclamation here in verses number 7 through 12. And John had critics. John had critics. You see it here in verses number 7, the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the religious leaders, and they were around, but both John and Jesus called the Pharisees and the Sadducees vipers. Call them a snake there, okay? Meaning really full of poison and venom. They're dangerous. You see that? And that's what false doctrine is. That's what false teaching is. Feel good churches, it's dangerous. It's poisonous there. Okay, it's manipulation, it's confusion, it's all that stuff. And so that's what John is calling them is hey, you're vipers there, you're poisonous, they're dangerous. And that's what a snake is, right? They're dangerous. A poisonous snake is a dangerous animal there. And so when people don't believe or understand the truth or are getting preached and taught different stuff than the truth, man, it's dangerous. It's dangerous. People believe lies and they go to hell because they believe the lie all their life. Man, that's sad, right? Thinking that they're going to have all these whatever, you know, when they get to heaven because of good works and whatever the case may be, believe a lie their whole life and go to hell. And maybe we had an opportunity, or we will have an opportunity, to give them the truth. Now, we can't force them, right? But at least give them an opportunity to respond to the truth. To proclaim the truth, church. And so the danger of these people here, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, they were believing that, hey, God's judgment was only for the for the heathen and the ungodly, not for them. And they believed that because we are children of Abraham, that hey, we're kind of saved under the forefathers of our families, and that's sufficient enough to them. But John is saying, no. You must repent of your sins there. You must turn away. And let me say this, that verbal repentance is not enough. Being sorrow, okay? Just because you're sorrow about something is not enough. Just being present in the midst of those who worship God is not enough. Repentance requires a change of action, a change of conduct, turning away from something there. And so, but the religious rejected the message. And John is saying in verse number 10, hey, judgment is coming. Judgment is coming, and now also the axe is laid, verse number 10, unto the root of the trees. Therefore, every tree which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire there. And so judgment is at hand. And he's also saying, hey, fruit is demanded. Show fruit there in verse number 10, that, hey, you should show fruit as a Christian. As a Christian, we should be bearing fruit. We should be showing fruit. I have a hard time believing a person saved when they never, ever show any kind of fruit from the work of God, from repentance or the word, you know, whatever it is. Now, obviously, you're saved by faith alone there. I understand that. But, man, when we get saved, when we trust Christ as our Savior, when we are born again, when we're new creatures in Christ, man, we're excited about it. We should be. And I understand it can be dull sometimes, and we have seasons of that there. I understand that. But, hey, at some point, we should show some kind of fruit. Some kind of fruit, church, there. And, man, it's you have a great testimony of showing that in your giving there. And it's really wonderful. It's a blessing. There we should be bearing fruit wherever we go. And then I want to just drop down here the verse number 13 real quickly. As John is proclaiming, as John is preaching the message, as John is paving the way, here comes Jesus. And I love what he says in John: behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the whole world. And I want to see his humility here, and not just John's, but Jesus as well, the humility of both of these men here, really a man and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. But John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me? And Jesus answering said unto him, suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffered him. John the Baptist baptizing Jesus. Man, it's a great day to be a Baptist, huh? Amen. Right? Yeah. Our Savior got baptized by a Baptist. Matthew 3, man, that's a great day when you read that there. But a sense of humility here. Jesus gives us the greatest example. He gives us the greatest example of everything, right? Of love and peace, and just how to handle things. Man, he's our ultimate example. We understand that there, especially for humility. The Son of God, the Savior of the world, came to die on the cross for our sins. He came specifically right here to be baptized by John. He was compelled to be baptized by John, and he was to identify himself with John's ministry, and so he was going to fulfill every law of man. Baptism was one of those laws. And so, obviously, baptism is a picture of your salvation. We went over that already. And how, man, we were lost in our sins and we got saved. And now we got scripturally baptized, a step of obedience there. Well, Jesus Christ didn't have to be saved. He's the Son of God there. But it was an example. It was to fulfill the righteousness of God, the whole law of God, if that makes sense here. Everything that God, the Word of God says that He commands us to do, Jesus fulfilled that, and He didn't break anything. He didn't break any of God's laws and commandments there. And this was specifically a reason why He got baptized, to give us the example, to give us the example. And Philippians 2 gives us a great example of the servant of Jesus Christ, man, how he was in the form of a servant there. And, man, it's encouraging there. It's encouraging. And how when Christ approached John, he lowered himself and acknowledged that he was nothing in comparison, and how he says, I must decrease so he can increase. And really just taking a step back so Christ can come in. And so no one is worthy of God's call. The fact that God allows any kind of relationship with himself is beyond comprehension, yet he has given us a relationship with him. He calls man to be with him and to serve him. We have that relationship with our Savior. And going on into Matthew chapter number 11 and Matthew chapter number 14, we won't turn there, but I love what Jesus said about John whenever he was in prison right before he got killed there, how he said, what you seen, a reed shaken, came to see a reed shaken by the wind there? No, I show you more than a prophet. He was much more than a prophet there. He did not sway nor weaken of the frown and terror of Herod. He was in prison. He was in prison and he was standing strong on God's word there. Stood up for the cause of Christ when he told Herod, and he told his wife there, hey, you're in sin. Told the king that, okay? Told the king's wife that. Man, that's bold. That's real bold. That's like us going to maybe the governor and his wife, or the president, and his wife, and man saying, hey, that's wrong. That's sin. That's exactly what he did. Man, that's being bold. That's proclaiming God's word there. And sometimes we can kind of sway away from that and see people in sin, knowing that they're in sin, trying to pray for them, work with them, and just proclaiming God's word. Again, John was a man sent by God to proclaim the truth, and he proclaimed it no matter the cost. It cost him his life. And so what Christ was saying, when you look at John, you do not see a man of this world with fine clothes of the world on his mind, but you see an ambassador for God. What a lesson on self-denial and faithfulness in the face of opposition. It's great. And so when God chooses a person to run ahead and herald the coming of the Messiah, he did not choose a king or any other person of power or fame. He chose a simple man and called him to preach the coming of the Messiah. It's a blessing. I think of going back to what I said earlier about self-denial, how I was talking to a pastor earlier last night about a county that's one of the wealthiest counties in Texas. Is Rockwood? Am I saying that right? Rockwood County? I tell you, from Louisiana, we don't really know how to talk there. Rockwall County, okay? And, you know, I'm sure people have great careers and, you know, opportunities. Man, praise God for all that stuff there. But what I've seen, even in, I have a side business and you know, great opportunity there, commercial and residential accounts. I go and fix stuff and maintenance and stuff. Over time, those opportunities there can get in the way of God, right? You see, you know, kind of that opportunity, hey, it's a big job. Maybe I can make a good profit off of this. Here's a great position here in the county here. And, man, I can make a good living there. But it calls for you working on Sunday mornings or Sunday nights or Wednesday nights, or it's taking a little bit of your morning. You have to wake up a little bit earlier where maybe you won't be able to read your Bible. You follow what I'm saying? It can get in the way of the things of God. Wealthy area like this there, got to be careful. A lot of temptation, right? Am I telling the truth or not? It's tempting. It can get in the way. It can. I've seen it even in as a pastor there. And again, I'm bivocational. And, man, I've been able to reach people for the cause of Christ in my workplace there, and work probably 1-2 days, maybe 3 days a week, some of those between 1 and 3 days a week there, depending on what I have going on throughout the week. And I've been able to reach people for the cause of Jesus Christ. Baptized out of the 7 that we were able to reach, I think it was like 5 or so from the business. And, man, I was able to pray with branch managers and store managers and just kind of high-ranking individuals and witness to them. And that's a blessing, but at the same time, sometimes what God has given me, it could kind of get in the way of my relationship with God, if that makes sense, right? I can sway away from that there. And so we have to be careful that we don't allow things to get in our way with our relationship with God, nothing at all. And that we are vocal, just like John was. Man, it's a great example, great testimony. And then you continue on throughout the book there, book of Matthew, and we see Jesus coming in and preaching and proclaiming the word of God, same message as John did. We have to be vocal for the cause of Christ, just as John did. And as you read throughout John's life, he stood firm on the things of God and told the king and his wife, hey, you're in sin. They threw him in prison, and then it cost him his life. They killed him. Herodias says, hey, I want John the Baptist's head. Cost him his life. What are you willing to pay to be vocal and visible for God? What are you willing to pay for that? Are you willing to pay your life? Are you willing to pay your career? Say, preacher, I've been waiting on this opportunity for 10, 15 years, 20 years. I've been working my life for this opportunity. But I know it's going to get in the way of my relationship with God. We have to make a decision here this morning. I'm going to be vocal for God. I'm going to stand up for God. No matter the cost. I'm going to be visual. I'm going to have a good testimony. I'm going to learn how to talk to people. And just because the coworkers are making dirty jokes and saying ungodly things throughout work, I'm not going to listen. I'm actually going to stand up to them and say, hey, look, that's not pleasing to God. And I can actually show you through Scripture how to have a better life, how to use your words that will glorify and honor God. You'd be surprised. You start standing up for people and standing up against people and showing them the Scripture, man, they might change their life. You don't know what God will do. Don't underestimate God's word. Don't minimize God's word. John stood up for God's word. He was vocal and visible. And here's the challenge this morning: that are we vocal and visible for God? What is it going to take? What are we willing to pay for the cause of Christ? Preacher?
All stand. We'll sing a song of invitation at this time. Page 518 in your hymnals. Page 518. I gave my life for thee. What hast thou given for me? Page 518.